Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The gospel lesson for today is our sermon text, Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, where John the Baptist is introduced to us, and especially the last maybe couple of verses. John says, "I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering the wheat into his barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." God's Word. In Christ Jesus, the redeemed. Did you know that about 35 million Americans today suffer some form of hearing loss? That's about 11% of the population. And it's increasing annually. Statistics, if they bear out the pattern that has been established over the last few years, will put the number at 40 million by 2025, that's only 3 years from now, and 53 million by 2050. That's a huge chunk of the population. There is another malady of the ear that also is significant. About a third of the population has difficulty with what they call tinnitus or tinnitus. Ringing in the ears. That's that annoying, obnoxious noise or rushing sound that seems to come between your ears that can be certainly frustrating and annoying. It can cause the problem of a loss of focus and concentration, maybe attention on the task that you're doing. It can reduce the quality of life and even affect the activities that you are involved with because there's always this annoying noise in the back of your head that seems to obstruct everything that you're trying to listen to. And people who have hearing loss, over 3/4 of them also have this thing called tinnitus. Of course, with modern technology, we have things that can not necessarily cure, but hopefully give some relief to that whole problem of hearing loss. We got hearing aids. You see ads and stuff on TV or on the radio, you hear about them, where the sound that is supposed to come to your ear is actually amplified a bit so that you can hear it better. My father has that problem. In fact, having lost the whole bit of hearing in one ear, he has a hearing aid that actually amplifies both sides to be able to hear it in the one ear that is still good. There's also this thing called a white noise generator, and this was surprising to me, that actually is similar to a hearing aid, but you put it in the ear and it actually causes a sound that is supposed to cancel out that ringing in the ears so that you actually can hear the way you're supposed to. Even cochlear ear implants that are attached to the nerve endings, apparently, especially if your eardrum is damaged, and you're actually able to hear something that you probably haven't heard or have never heard in your lifetime. Amazing inventions and abilities that people have nowadays with the various items that technology has provided. Or you could go old school and just put your hands behind your ears and you can hear a lot better, right? Or just use that old horn that great-grandma used to have. Regardless of the number of people that have hearing loss with these things on the side of your head, We all have a hearing problem when it comes to hearing the voice of God and His will. Because of our sinful nature inherited from Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, when they fell into sin, disobeying God's one command, not to eat of that fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, now we are bothered by this constant attack of our sinful nature that causes difficulty, frustration, and opposition against God in everything that we do. And there is no human invention, no kind of instrument that we could come up with that can do anything to cure this problem. And we all suffer from it, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is only one thing that is the solution to the problem of our hearing God's word and will. And that's what John the Baptist was all about. In preparing the way for the coming Savior, Jesus Christ, calling people to repent of their sins and to look to Christ alone for their salvation. That's why today you and I are also called on to perk up our ears and hear and heed the message of John the Baptist. A message, first and foremost, that requires real change. We're told in the first verse of our text, in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, repent, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Do you understand that word, repent? There are a lot of people today who don't want to hear that word, much less have any idea. Well, maybe they do. Maybe they do really actually understand what that word means, but simply refuse to follow through. Right? And that seems to be a problem oftentimes with people who have hearing loss. They maybe try to pretend that it really isn't a problem. Or they simply ignore the circumstances and the consequences that such a hearing loss causes for them. And they just simply say, what? Huh? I didn't hear you. Speak up. Repentance is that action that you and I are called on to do by John the Baptist, and certainly Jesus himself as well, which the world wants nothing to do with. This world in which we live, the people around us would rather just simply assume that everything is fine, pretending that it's all good, and there's no problem here whatsoever. And yet, we still have these things called wars, sorrow and suffering, and situations that cause us frustration and anger and worry and all kinds of things that show us that this world is stark raving mad with sin, and yet we tend to hear all the time, everything's fine, it's all good, we're only getting better. Then why is it that children and adults are hooked on drugs that only drive them to death? Why is it that we have arguing and fighting among the closest two people kind of relationship there is, husband and wife? Why is it that we have so many frequent references to suicide? Infants who are ripped from the womb by women who figure that they have a right, a freedom to decide what to do with their own bodies, not considering the body of that special creation of God growing in their womb. We have a society that is terrorized again and again by conflict, by people who don't seem to be able to handle their own lives and then want to take it out on the lives of others. Families torn apart by arguing and abuse and selfishness, a self-serving kind of an attitude. We have conflicts that pit nations against each other, children against parents, parents against children, on and on and on down the line. And so much so that it has become normal nowadays to consider those things that we used to refer to as embarrassing, shameful, things you wouldn't even talk about, now paraded around as if they are acceptable, God-pleasing, and somehow good for society, much less in accord with God's will. And everything is right with the world. Wrong. John the Baptist's message is standing in stark contrast to what you get from the world around us today. And he pulls no punches. There's no mask or cover-up whatsoever as far as John's message is concerned. He proclaims loud and clear, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is that serious call to each and every one of us that calls for a radical change of heart and mind, as well as action. It calls on us to make an honest assessment of what's really going on in our hearts and in our lives. We need to come to grips with that thing that is most essential to each and every one of us in regard to our relationship with God. That we are in defiance of God. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in his letter to the Romans. He says, "I know that nothing good lives in me," that is, in my sinful nature. In fact, he calls his sinful nature hostile to God, an enemy against God. And he says, "There is no one who does what is righteous, no one who does what is good." Because there is no difference, Paul reminds us. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That was God's analysis of the people before the flood, as well as after it, when he looked at the thoughts and attitudes, even the inclinations of people's hearts, and saw that they are only evil all the time. And John allows no more denial, excuses, or ignoring of that truth. And he's not just talking to the people at his time. The fact that it was recorded for us so that you and I might read it for ourselves means it includes you and me. We're called on to be brutally honest about ourselves, personally and individually. I have sinned against God. I have disobeyed His will and law. I have violated His commands and expectations and deserve only His eternal wrath and punishment. I have stolen, I have slandered, I have assaulted, I have sinned grievously. And that's a message that cannot be ignored. We're told John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. Imagine not being able to hear at all. You know, sometimes you maybe pretend that as a kid. You put your fingers in your ears, and all you can hear is your own voice echoing in your head. What if that were the case for 400 years? That's the last time anyone sent by God had spoken to the people of Israel, God's chosen ones. They were starving for anything, any kind of word from the Lord. And then comes John the Baptist. He appears on the scene as we have recorded for us this morning, and he had a message from God. And it was one that certainly didn't cause anybody to get excited about the man. Camel's coat, you know, leather belt around his waist. He doesn't eat at fancy restaurants. But boy, does he have a message. And that message brought the people out from all corners of the territory. We're told people went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of Jordan. And what did they do when they were out there? Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. They heard John's message from the Lord himself, and they repented of their sins. And it included even these people. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say of yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." I really don't think that needs a whole lot of explanation. To show that John's message was for the lowest of the low, as well as the highest group of people. Those were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They thought very highly of themselves. They looked down at everybody else and figured they were closest to God simply because of who they were. John calls them a brood of vipers. You know what that means? They're sneaky like snakes. They are deceptive and deniers of everything that John was talking about. And they didn't figure they needed to repent. But John says, the axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Yeah, I think maybe that warning is there for us too, isn't it? Because there have been plenty of times when we've thought maybe of ourselves, well, it's that person that has the problem, not me. We look down on our noses at every other person that causes us confusion or frustration or whatever, and it's their problem. They're the ones who should change, right? Or it's the common falsehood about God that, well, you know, I've been a pretty good person, so he should just accept me as I am. And on down the line where it's always somebody else's fault. It's others that are so bad, not me, as the people called the Pharisees and Sadducees would say. But remember again those words of Paul, all have sinned, when he says, no one is righteous, not even one, that includes you and me. And there's an urgency here. John says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering the wheat into his barn, but burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. There is no time to waste, people, John says. This is a message that not only called them to repentance, but also pointed them to the one who would come after John. John the Baptist, likely Jesus' cousin, was only 6 months older than Jesus. There was a limited time for him to do his work of preparing people's hearts and minds for that coming Savior. People who don't want to admit that they have a hearing loss aren't going to go to the audiologist and find out what is available for them to have better hearing. People who refuse to repent of their sins also are not even aware or don't even care that they are lost eternally. They need someone just like you and me who will be their rescuer and savior. Someone outside of themselves who can do for us what we cannot do ourselves. Someone greater even than John the Baptist. Because I cannot save myself. I can't even improve myself. I need someone greater. And that's John's message also. As he points to Jesus and says, look, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world. It's only in Jesus that we have that forgiveness of sins and that promise of eternal life and salvation that we all need for this problem of our sins. And because it is Jesus who alone is not just the Savior, but what else is He? He's the one who has His winnowing fork in His hand and will clear His threshing floor, gathering the wheat into His barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. John's looking ahead to Judgment Day as well and reminding us that day is coming soon also. And is this very same one who came to be our Savior who will also come to judge the living and the dead. So don't you really think that it would be a good idea to not only get to know Him, Jesus, but also look to Him for what He came to accomplish for us? Not plugging our ears or refusing to listen to His word and so heed what He has to say? Can we afford to continue to ignore Him and His word and John the Baptist's call to repentance any longer? How much longer, how much more time do you and I have left on this earth? Are you willing to take your chances when He comes to judge the living and the dead? Somehow standing on your own or comparing yourself to other people or just simply hoping for the best? Wouldn't it be so much better to hear and to heed John the Baptist's message today? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Near indeed. For that salvation that we look forward to is nearer now than when we first believed. Even nearer than when I first started this sermon. And so therefore it is incumbent upon every one of us to not only see and not only to hear, but also to follow that message of John the Baptist, to look at the Lamb of God who came to take away yours and my sins by His sufferings, death, and resurrection from the dead. Don't turn a deaf ear to Him. Listen. Amen. Now may that peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.